Hello, and welcome to the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's message is here to help you preach the good news everywhere in your day-to-day life. Here at Covenant Fellowship, we accomplish this by encountering God, loving people, and serving others with everything we've got. Now let's dive in.
About yourself. The well of sacrifice has become the well of convenience. The well of the uncompromised word of God has become the well of interpreting whatever the Bible says to suit you and interpreting in that manner. But there is a well this morning that can be dug by you and I. There are wells that can be uncovered and cleaned out by you and I. We can continue on with how wells of living water have been polluted with compromise and essentially renamed to suit society. I'm not going to spend time there because there are some wells we're going to redig this morning. We must have the same living water from the same well that men and women have drunk from for centuries. I've been so fortunate in my life. I'm telling you, I was crying like a baby over there during worship. And just thinking, Pastor, about how fortunate I have been to be around people that dug wells. I think of a man by the name of Frank Carter that led my dad to the Lord many, many years ago. And I can remember so many times Brother Frank would teach Sunday school. He was such a man of God. If you needed prayer, this was the man you went to. And I can remember him praying for people. No one I've ever been around could get people through to the baptism of the Holy Spirit like Brother Frank could. And he would lay hands on people, and he had, I think they used to call it the cobra clutch or something. He would grab you like this by the back of your neck. You were going to start speaking in tongues one way or another. But I remember that guy, he was a man's man. He was a mechanic for a Volkswagen dealership, big guy, but had such a soft heart. I thank God for the wells of refreshing of the Holy Spirit that Brother Frank dug and that so many have been able to participate in. I've got dear friends here today, a couple that's meant so much to me and Amy over the past 10 plus years, Sonny and Linda Gregory. I want to tell you about a couple that dug a well of faith. And when there's been times in my life where it just seemed like, where are you, God? I can hear Sonny's voice. He doesn't say a whole lot, but when he does, it has meaning to it. And he would speak faith in every situation. I thank God for people that I've been around that have dug wells. And sometimes I just have to go over to that well and just uncover it and take a drink of faith from what the Gregories had dug and what Brother Frank had dug with the Holy Spirit. Because faith will change your perspective, friend. I was raised in a pastor's home. My grandfather, who's my mom's dad, he was a pastor. My grandfather had a hand in establishing so many of the Assemblies of God churches and other Pentecostal churches in the area I grew up. I can't begin to tell you the number of ministers that my father's had that's been assistant pastors for him, went on to pastor others he's had influence on. But I thank God for those wells. I drink from those wells. My children drink from those wells. I had a grandfather who taught us to praise God in the midst of any storm you faced. He was sometimes scary to ride down the road with because those hands would go off the steering wheel and he'd start praising God. And if you know where I grew up, the roads are like this. But he always had a praise. I remember a lot of you, some of you that are close to me, you've heard some of my testimony and some of my upbringing. But I've not shared this with many people. Some friends have heard this, but there was a time when I was a teenager. We were building a new church. My dad put me on a bulldozer. Some of you parents are going to cringe when you... My dad put me on a bulldozer at the age of 15. Why? Because somebody had to push the dirt down so that he could take the bigger dozer and come across. And ministry was all we knew as a family. As the building got built, a 210 by 70 foot building, huge building God had blessed us with. one of the worst snowstorms of record in that area came, and we only had heat on one end of the building at that time, and much of the building collapsed under snow. It was a tough blow. That will test your faith. People left. People left the church over a building. But I remember more than anything my grandfather's response. My dad was pastoring the church at the time. My grandfather had pastored there for like 30 years. This was supposed to be where God was taking us. And everyone was concerned. My grandfather was up in age at that time. Everybody was concerned, what's going to happen when Brother Tate gets here? How's he going to respond? Well, he responded the only way he knew how to respond. I remember when he got up that hill, he drove like a maniac sometimes. So we saw he had one of those old Suburbans. We called it Blue Thunder, because it thundered when it shut down. It backfired. And he slid that thing up the hill as far as he could, and he walked the rest of the way. And when he got up there and he saw the building, I can't do it. He could do it in his 70s. I can't do it in my 40s. He took off running. I'm talking snow above your knees. He takes off running. His knees are up to his chin. And he starts praising God in that parking lot. His dream, what he had sacrificed for 30 years, was laying half of it or over half of it on the ground. And he is shouting. He's saying, it doesn't make no sense to this day, but he said, sometimes the way up is down and it's all the way down. So God's about to bring it back up. That's how I was raised. There's a well that I can tap into that no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, when we had a health scare last year with Abby and we didn't know what was going on and they were talking that maybe she had rheumatoid arthritis and all these things, I could remember my grandfather across that parking lot in the snow while that building was down, high-stepping across there, saying sometimes the way up is down and it's all the way down. God is about to do something. Hallelujah. During that same time, you can imagine the pressure that was on my father. Financial pressures. The board had talked him into giving up a job and letting his business go and being pastor full time. Well, finances are fleeing. And now you've got the cost of what it's going to take to rebuild. I would stay up at night as Dad would lay on the couch and shake as the devil would attack. I would sit in a recliner. I would sit on the other couch, and I would not go to sleep at the age of 15 until he got to sleep. But you know what I saw? I saw perseverance. I saw no matter what the devil threw our way, that Mom and Dad, Kay and Danny Michaels, were going to rise to the occasion. I watched Dad go out and get another job, and God blessed him. Here's the kind of faith that I'm talking about. Dad said, I need to go back to running a preparation plant so I can make some money and keep my family, but keep this church going. And in the midst of all that, I remember him packing his lunchbox and driving about an hour to where a mine site was. And he said, Lord, it'd be lunchtime. He said, Lord, I'll be eating lunch in that control room shortly. And sure enough, God gave him that job. And for years, one payday went to keep church doors open, and one payday kept our family going. And it seemed like every time that Jason or I would wear out a pair of jeans, the local clothing store would donate some things to the church, and they'd be just the right size. And we weren't wearing what Kmart had on Blue Light Special. We were wearing the Tommy stuff and whatever would be given. God dressed us in the midst of all that. In the time of famine, you better have a well to go drink from. I thank God for that. I thank God that there's been wells. I saw that perseverance in the midst of all that. One of the greatest memories I have of my grandfather, and Pastor Booker and I talk, we were both marked by the Brownsville Revival. My grandfather, we're in the Brownsville Revival. He sits down for a moment. Man, let me tell you, he would go every time we talked about going. He loved it. I mean, he loved being in that atmosphere. But I remember one time in particular, we were in a prayer service in the middle of the day, and he sat down. I sat down beside him. I thought he might be tired. I sat down beside him, and he looks over at me. These words have stuck with me. He said, "I love this. God is moving. God is touching the nations." He said, "I've experienced this atmosphere my entire life." And that wasn't putting down what was going on. That was him telling me, you can live in this. You can have this. This isn't contained just to a group of meetings in Brownsville for however many years that this revival lasts. But what he was telling us and what he came back telling us as a family is, I've experienced that. God can do it on a continual basis, and we can live in revival. Has anyone got someone in their life that you've drunk from the well that they've dug? Anybody? Hallelujah. Somebody dug a well that you continue to drink from today. For years, dirt has been placed in wells of revival, and many have been satisfied to drink the compromise that has been placed in what was once a well of living water. Thank God for the wells that were dug by previous generations. I want my children to experience that. I want to tell you, here on Wednesday night, they aren't redigging wells. They've already done that. They are digging new wells over there in that youth room. Some of you know this. A couple Wednesday nights ago, man, we're in here. Pastor Scott comes over, tells Pastor Booker, "I don't normally interrupt, but there's something going on over there I think everyone would be interested in being a part of." And we go over there. We went over there just a little bit after 7:30. I want to tell you, most of us left about 10 o'clock that night. They had already been worshiping and praising for an hour, and then for over two more hours. I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit were in operation. People were on their faces before God. People were being touched. People were having things in their life just eliminated. God was taking stuff. God was removing chains. And God was doing a great work. I got out of there. I looked at Joseph. I said, "Man, how are you? That was awesome." He said, "Dad, I've played drums for 3 hours. I am tired." God is doing a great thing in every age group. If you could have seen what happened in VBS this weekend, how God was just powerfully moving in our children's ministry. You see, what brings that? Wells that won't compromise. Living water that springs up into life everlasting. That generation after generation can drink from if we keep the compromise out of the wells. Let's redig those wells this morning. We've been seeing that around here. There are wells that have been dug in the Church of God, wells that have been dug across the Pentecostal movement, and wells that have been dug here at Covenant Fellowship. If you've allowed any of those wells to become polluted, today is the day to get the junk out of it and begin to drink from the well again. Hallelujah. God desires for us to dig a well, as we'll see later in chapter 26. But the old wells will sustain and refresh you as you pursue digging the well that God intends for you to dig. Too many people get a revelation or a heavy revy and go out to dig a well with no foundation to dig that well. Friend, the reason why things are so successful in student ministries is because Pastor Scott and that team have redug the wells of holiness. They've redug the wells of prayer. They've redug the wells of getting kids around the altar and laying hands on them. And because they've redug those wells have sustained that group of students and given them the refreshing to put their shovel in the ground and start digging a new well that everyone in this building is reaping from, because that group is digging a well every Wednesday night going after the things of God. Thank God for a leadership team that says, we're not going to try to do it a new way. We're going to take what works, and then we're going to build on that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, you all make some noise for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Do I have anybody in this room that drank from the wells of faith in the 70s and 80s? You experienced that. Do I have anybody in the room that drank from the wells of revival during the 90s when God was moving in Pensacola, Florida and across this nation? Has anyone in this room drunk from the wells of seeking after God and chasing after Him during the early 2000s? Has anybody in the last decade experienced the well of worship that has come into the body of Christ? Friend, there are wells that have been dug that sometimes some of us just need to reclaim and dig them again. Dig a well. Take your talent. Use it in ministry. Dig a well. But before you go digging your well, refresh yourself from the wells others have dug. In Genesis 26, 19 and 20, the Bible declares, "And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him." I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on what was going on, because there's an entirely other message on what happens with these first two wells. What I want to tell you is he dug another well. After he got the refreshing of the old wells that he refused to rename, that he allowed to be what they had always been, he goes and he digs another well. And there was strife. And you could easily say here that some of the wells you dig are for God to allow others to drink from. I don't know if that was the case here. But sometimes things just don't work out the way that we want to. But I have to imagine that Isaac in his thinking was thinking, hey, there is an abundance here because there is a source under this ground that's caused that well to be dug, that well redug, that well redug. There's a source here that I can tap into. I'll just move on and we'll dig another well. In the midst of contention, he refused to stop. Genesis 26 and 21, the Bible declares, "And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah," which means hostility. He digs another well. I can see someone in this room digging a well because God's increased your capacity. I hope somebody will preach with me this morning. God has increased your capacity. What you've redug isn't enough to sustain where God has you. And it certainly isn't enough to sustain where God is taking you. So in the midst of this, he's dug this other well. And hostility is coming. Isaac was not going to stay at the place of contention or hostility. He was moving on because he knew God had greater things in store for him. You have to understand that when you dig a well and people see the blessing flowing, you will often have to deal with contention and hostility. Sometimes you just have to move on and dig another well. So he moves on. Increase and prosperity will often require a deeper well and more water. I said increase and prosperity will often require you to have a deeper well and more water. Let me tell you something. In the natural, it gets more expensive to go deeper. The area I grew up in, we had some wells. I can remember pulling a well up pump from a well with my Uncle Mike. I think that thing was 75 feet deep. I remember pulling that and working on that with him. Well, he did the work. I did the pulling. He fixed it. I pulled. He saw the opportunity to have a teenage nephew come and pull that well, and he took it immediately. And then he done it again when I was in my early 20s. I pulled it up at a different home he lived in. But friend, it costs to go deeper in the natural. I want to tell you this morning, some of you, I feel in my spirit, God is encouraging you, put the shovel back in the ground. I've increased your capacity. I've increased the blessing on your life. I increased the anointing. I've increased your influence. It's going to take a deeper well to sustain what I'm doing in your life. And let me tell you, friend, it just like in the natural, it's going to cost something. It's going to cost some time in his presence. It's going to cost some times of saying no to things that you've said yes to in the past. It's going to cost something because there can't be no compromise as we go deeper. And God's going to demand something. But when you get to digging, God is going to allow you to sustain what he is giving you. And when he gets you there, God's going to demand of your life to go and dig again and go deeper so that God can move on you again, so that God can trust you with more. Your increased capacity demands a deeper well. Come on, get that in your spirit. Your increased capacity, the stretching that the Holy Spirit is doing with you, the stretching that God is doing in your life requires a deeper well. Would you look at somebody and just say, the capacity requires a deeper well. Come on, get that in your spirit this morning. God is increasing your capacity. God is increasing your ministry. And that increase requires a deeper well. We aren't talking about a well that can be dug with a shovel. As I was praying, I felt this come into my spirit because I truly believe that what Pastor Booker started saying in early December has come to fruition and continues to go before us this year. When he said, this is a year of acceleration. Amy and I can tell you within the first 2 weeks of the first time he said that, not in January, but within the first 2 weeks of him saying that, that God began to accelerate some things. God began to move. And I believe in this moment of acceleration that we are experiencing, shovels just don't cut it. I believe God is bringing excavators along because there's some digging that's about to be done that you can't do on your own. God's about to bring somebody in. God's about to lock some people up. God's about to bring some people in here on Thursday night locking hands and saying, we're not using a shovel. We've got excavators. There's a year of acceleration happening in this church, and God is digging a deeper well of holiness, a deeper well of righteousness, a deeper well of healing, a deeper well of the power of God, a deeper well of deliverance, a deeper well of God doing what he wants to do across this region, and it's not going to stop. God is going to continue to allow us to dig. So in this moment of acceleration, don't see yourself putting a shovel in the ground. See an excavator coming alongside of you and taking a deep dig and pulling out what God has been trying to get into you for years. You see, here's what I see in the Spirit happening. He's about to give us so much living water that we're about to see John 7:38 come to life. Anybody know that scripture where the Bible says, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water? You see, that's not rain coming down. And I know it's raining. We are experiencing a season in this church where, yes, it's raining. But there are droughts that come. You better have a well when the drought comes. You better have a well when the hurt comes. You better have a well when the doctor gives you a bad news. You better have a well when you lose the job. You better have a well when something happens that you didn't expect that you can go to. That it may not be raining, but I don't always need the rain because God has taken an excavator and dug me a new well that I can get to and be refreshed. Hallelujah. I'm watching that clock, Amy. She don't have to be giving me signs of standing up or anything. Let me tell you something. Rivers. I'm not talking about a river. God didn't say a river's going to flow out of your belly. God said rivers are going to flow out of your belly. I believe those rivers, man, talk about rain. Let it rain. Because what I was just getting ready to say is when you drink from the well and you get so full of the presence of God that rivers start issuing out, then when the rain of His Spirit begins to fall, You want to talk about rivers? You want to talk about flooding a region with the presence of and power of God? When the rain from heaven and the living water that God has placed on the inside of us, oh, I wish somebody make some noise this morning and somebody give him praise, because the rain and what is in us is about to come together, and there's going to be a revival like has never been seen across this region. Why? Because there's no compromise in the wells. You can't have revival where there's compromise. You can have good service, you can have good music, but I'm telling you, lies will come up to the front and say they got saved and be smoking weed by the end of the week. Wells of uncompromise. So he's dug a well and has experienced the increased harvest and fruitfulness of the land. The Bible declares, a few more scriptures, in verse 22, and he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove, and for that they strove not. I'm sorry. And he called the name Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. He's now dug a well, experiencing the increased harvest and fruitfulness of the land, and the Bible declares there is plenty of room, that it is a broad place. Friend, it's time to dig. It's time to dig. There's plenty of room in this well that God's getting ready to help us dig. For some, you should look at somebody and you should say, it's time to dig deeper. Time not to be satisfied with where we've been and what we've been drinking. God's got more. You see, there's more capacity than what I had a year ago. I need a deeper well. There's about to be the unleash of rivers out of you as he fills you with the well that you are digging. Hallelujah. Verse 23. I've not made you dizzy yet, have I, Joseph? I've been good. And the Lord appeared unto him. Or I'm sorry, in 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Beersheba means well of seven. It means full and complete. See, God's trying to get us to a place of fullness and completeness. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there. It's one thing to dig a well. It's another thing to bring the altar and the well together. Because friend, I want to tell you, where there's blood and where there's sacrifice, that gets the compromise out. That gets the sin issue out of the way. That brings holiness into it. And after he had built that altar, he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. They dug another well. I believe God wants to do something so incredible in you and through you. A lot of the in you is your willingness to uncover the wells that have been dug all around you and to go after your own well. But God wants to do something incredible in you. He wants to do something incredible through you. He's given you talents to see great things done for the kingdom of God. But you need living water as you expand your capacity and walk in the fullness that God has called you to. God is trying to get us to Beersheba to fill us up so that the filling results in an outflow that he can work with and work through. There's wells in this room. I want you to raise your hand if you've experienced salvation or rededication while attending Covenant Fellowship. Anyone in the room, you've experienced salvation. Look at that. Why has that happened? Because there's a well of salvation in this house. Raise your hand if you've experienced healing around these altars at any point. Look at that. There's wells of healing. Jeremy, why are you doing this? Because somebody might need to know Jesus. They need to know there's a well of salvation right here available. Somebody in this room may need healing. It may be emotional healing. I can tell you, God did some emotional healing the first or the last Sunday of August, sitting right back there, about the fourth row in this section. God did a healing. Praise and worship was going on, and all I could do was cry. There's a well of healing in this place. Raise your hand if you've been delivered from something around these altars. Alcohol, drug addiction, Look at that. People have been delivered. Why? Because there is a well of deliverance in this place. Raise your hand if you've been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Why? Because there is a well of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that flows in this place. See, I want you to see there are wells of living water available for whatever your need is this morning. We must continue to dig wells. You can be that person that digs a well. And this is where I want to get to Pastor Scott's message. See, you could be that person that digs a well in first impressions so that people feel rivers of living water the moment they pull up in this parking lot and are directed into a parking space. As they come through the doors and shake hands with somebody, like Pastor Scott said, there is more ministry that goes on in that hallway than what often goes on in this room. And it requires some people to dig a well so that rivers will flow. Dig a well for media ministry, just as Pastor showed that map. Dig a well in media ministry so that people feel rivers of living water rushing over this live feed. Dig a well for life groups. I believe God is going to give us wells in living rooms this fall. That people are going to be refreshed. People are going to be touched. That people in our neighborhoods that don't even attend this church are going to come in and see what God is doing. Dig a well in New Life Ministries as people are restored and hope is given. Dig a well in kids' men. Dig a well in student ministries. Dig a well in usher ministry. Dig a well in worship. Dig a well in outreach. Dig a well in Jesus' hands and feet ministry. Wherever God has planted you, start looking in the distance for the excavator that's coming to help you dig a well so that lost and hurting humanity can be changed in a moment by the living water that God is providing.
And that wraps up this episode of the Covenant Fellowship Podcast. For more information about who we are, please visit us at cfbristol.com or check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We hope that you have a blessed day. And as always, just like we find in Isaiah 60, verse 1, we hope you arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.